Okay, good morning, everybody. That's Hashem. We're going to finish the parak today. We're beginning on Lamed, Gimel, Omid, Beis, four lines from the bottom. So we quote the Mishnah. We said yesterday, Modim, Modim, Mishaskin. So if a person says Modim twice, one after the other, we'll see in a moment what that means. They say Modim, Anaftalah, or did he say Modim, Modim, Anaftalah? So we'll see in a moment the two different versions over here, what he said. So the Mishnah says you silence a person like that. If he's the Chazan, you don't let him go daven like that. You silence him. Amr of Zera. Kol Omer Shma Shma Komer Modim Modim. Likewise, if a person Komer Modim Modim Domi, if a person says Shma twice, so he also silenced him. It looks like there's two deities. We'll see in a second. So Gemara says, wait a second. Mesa Brisa says otherwise. Here it said you silence him, and then the Brisa it says Akori Shma Kofla. If somebody says Shma twice, Kofla doubles. He says it twice. Hareza Maguna says it's disgusting. So it says disgusting, yeah, but not stopping him. Maguna who the heavy Shisuke lo mishaskinale. It means okay, guy didn't do a good thing, but you don't silence him. So it seems to be a steer over here on Mishnah and this Brisa that we bring. The first one says that you silence the guy mishaskin or so, and the second one says, yeah, he didn't really do a good job, but you don't silence him. So which one is it? Lokasha. So Gemara explains the seeming steer over here between the two Brises as follows: Hodama milsa milsa v'tani la, v'hodama psuka psuka v'tani la. Now there are two different ways to explain this. Rashi tells us the exact opposite way. So we'll see inside Rashi first. The Rashi is about five lines on the bottom of the Rashi's. Kol teva v'teva chose v'shona. Each word shma shma Yisrael Yisrael. So that's maguna heavy. Rashi says that is disgusting, just not a nice thing to do. Shesuki lo mishaskinle. But if you did that, it doesn't look like there are two rishuyos over here. Just not a right way to break it up like that. Shane's a domal of a kabbalo stay malchios. Rashi says that if you say it that way, Shema, Shema, Israel, Israel, that's not called over here, stay Rishuyos, just disgusting. You don't do something like that. Elo le mislotzates, Omar Pasuk Shalem, you're like a mislotzates. Elo, Omar, if a person says over here, let me slow slaves on my apostle Sholem, Vitani Law, Mishaskinle, the Mechsik Shtay Rishios. If you say, Shmai Sol Shalom Shalom, Shmai Sol Shalom Shalom Shalom, it looks like you're davening Rahman will sign to deity one, then to deity two. That's the way Rashi understands this. Tos says the exact opposite. Tos on Lamadal and Ronald says the exact opposite. He flips it totally around. Okay. So that's the first thing that Tos is important for, totally the opposite understanding of Rashi. But then he also brings down, what about our custom? We say Shema Yisrael at the end of Yom Kippur, we say several times. We say three times. We say Baruch Sheikh V'Omach Uso, three times. You say Hashem U'Alakim, seven times. He says that's not a problem. All of those aren't a problem. And he brings raya's why that's not a problem. Also, we say amen v'amen in certain parts of davening. He explains that's also not a problem. Before I should bring this down. So it's only if you're saying really over here in this fashion, either the whole pasuk and then the whole pasuk, or word by word twice, that's the problem. Whether you hold like Rashi tells us, they both hold the same idea. It's certainly not nice, and sometimes you have to actually mishaskin the guy. Okay, back to the Gemara. So we now have, that's the reconciliation. Wait, what about a guy? Right, we learned the other day you have to have kavana for Shema. So what happens if a person doesn't have kavana for Shema? So he says, I got to repeat it. So he says, Shema Yisrael Shem Elokim Shechad. He wasn't thinking, he was half asleep. He said, oh, I got to say it again. So maybe that's what happened over here. Why are we mishaskin the guy? Why are we saying it's maguna? Maybe the guy's doing it, L'shem Shemayim. So that's what Rapop asked to Abaye. Abaye says, how could a person daven like that? Omale, Chavrusa kapi shmaya miika. What? Yeah, God's your friend. I didn't hear what I said. You weren't listening. I'll say it again. You're davening to Hashem. How could you not have concentration the first time? He says, Minok shenoheg, Rashi, top Rashi, Minok shenoheg, Odom echaveiro, Yinak etzel amokom. Okay, with your friends, you don't pay attention to each other. To God, I'm about to daven to you, Hashem. How can I possibly not pay full attention? So Gemara says, "Mi ika? How could there be such a guy? Ilo kivin daite meikara machin le b'mazafta de nafcha ad mechavin daite. You give him a zetz. You take out an iron hammer over here, and you give a guy a zetz if he's not mechavin. In other words, be mechavin. This isn't an excuse that oh maybe the guy didn't have it with the proper kavana. So the Magid Taluma brings down over here the Bedavka hammer over here because it's like Makir Bepatish. This is an alluding to the idea that you finish something, so don't repeat it again. That's why you take out a hammer. The Lashon of Makir Bepatish is used in Hilchos Shabbos. We're getting close to Masechet Shabbos. So you have to be careful not to do a completed act, that the completion of the act on Shabbos could be the Isser. So that's why it says you take out a hammer. So you say, hey, you said Shema, that's it. You can't say it again. Okay. the next Mishnah. Now, according to some, the first line of this next Mishnah actually was the end of the previous Mishnah. That's, in fact, the gears you see on the side. It says this is the gears of the Riff and the Rush, that it should have been included as part of the previous Mishnah. Some don't it include it at all. In any event, nobody says that it's wrong, so we'll just read it over here. If somebody says that only the good people, so to say, should bless you, God's not interested in the blessings on people that aren't so good, so that's a heresy. That's not the right attitude. I mentioned many times, the mnemonic of Tzibur is Tzadik Beinonim U Rishayim, which means God wants everybody to get together. When you're davening together with a tzibur, you should have people of all different types there. You love davka. God's only looking for the same type. All tzaddikim. Oh, we only have tzaddikim in over here. No, we daven better when we're all together as a group. So therefore, somebody says only the good guys can praise Hashem. No, a person who's never done some sins can also come to daven and try to do tshuva. Then it says, if somebody's the chazit and he makes a mistake, so what do you do? So Yavar Acher talked to him. He didn't have Sidurim. You know, he lost the place. You know, he's saying something by heart sometimes, right? And you get messed up. You know, somebody distracts you. You can't continue. It's very hard, if you're saying something by heart, to necessarily go back. So what happens over here? If Tor, so Yavar Acher talked to him. If he can't go on, if he can go on, let him go on. But if he can't go on, so then you bring somebody else in his place. And at that moment in time, when they need somebody to go up, don't go and say, no, I'm not me, I'm not good enough, pick somebody else. That's the normal approach that a person should have. A person shouldn't be rushing to go do the honors for the tzibur. He shouldn't be rushing to be the chazan, shouldn't be rushing to go up there. But at this time of need, that's not the time to be a sarvan, a refuser. A person says, no, I'm not good enough. No, at that moment, they need a chazan, so go right up there. Go and daven at that point in time. So no, he goes up there. So where does he start from? So mascheles habracha shetot zeh. So others have the gears of ba. So you go from the beginning of the bracha. Let's say it was the middle of Rafaenu, and he can't go on. He forgets. So the next guy goes up there, and he goes from Rafaenu. He starts in the beginning of that bracha. Fine. If somebody goes up and is the chazan, so lo yana amen achar hakohanim. So we don't duchen every day, but we duchen on yontif. And Eretz Yisrael, they duchen every day. So you're the chazan, so you're supposed to say the yivarechcha Hashem yishmerecha each word before the kohanim, and then the entire tzibur says amen at that point in time. So what does the chazan do? So it says the chazan shouldn't answer amen. However, the one who's the chazan, lo yana amen achar hakohanim, he shouldn't answer to the Kohanim over here, Amen. So some bring a riot over here from the fact that it says that you have to have Emor Lehem, you have to tell them, so it has to be a non-Kohen that ideally should be the Chazan. So, again, a Kohen's allowed to be the Chazan in that situation. What does he do in Duchlin? We're going to talk about as well. But some bring a riot, the Chachilah should be a non-Kohen because he has to tell the Kohanim. So he's not one of the Kohanim, he should tell the Kohanim. In any event, it says, Lo Yano Amen, Achar Kohanim, the chazan shouldn't answer amen. Why? Bibnei atiruv. Again, they were davening by heart. And if you answer amen, you may forget, did I just do the first bracha, the second bracha, or the third bracha of the Birchas Kohanim? And he has to know. So in his mind, if he answers amen, it could mess him up. So don't answer amen. Just Yishmerecha. That's what I said with Yishmerecha. Then you say Yoyer. But if you say amen, well, which amen did I say? Was it amen to the first one or the second one? So it's going to mess him up. Taruf comes from a lashon, some say, of treifa, and some say it comes from a scrambled egg, beitza trufa. So it means your brains are going to be scrambled. You're going to be taruf. You're going to be messed up over here. V'mein shom kohen, elohu, if there's no other kohen except the chazan. So, lo yisos kapa. Then he shouldn't duchen in that situation, if he's the only one, because he's going to mess up. He can't be the chazan, and also duchen. So in that situation, don't duchen. Aye, how are you not doing the mitzvah d'araisa, according to some of duchening, or at least the mitzvah d'rabbanon of duchening? So they answer that the real mitzvah d'araisa is only with two kohanim at least. So one kohen, that's already only mid-rabbanon, and therefore the rabbis could say, over here, if you're going to get mixed up, better that you not do it. However, today that we have Sidurim, so we do allow a Kohen to go both be the Chazan and Duchen, and he could answer Amen, because, again, if you're davening from a Siddur, this concern of Tiruf, that you're going to get messed up, just doesn't apply. Vim Haftachoso, as the Mishnah itself says, the guy says, listen, I've been doing this for 25 years. I know I won't mess up. Vim Haftachoso, Shunosi Eskapa, V'chozo L'tvilaso, Rashai. It's not that it's also to do this, just the circumstances, that it's very unlikely that you're going to do it well. But if you know you're going to do it well, i.e. today you have a sitter, so then these aren't Isurim over here, you're allowed to do this. Fine. The Gemara begins and says, the normal process is, you know, the Gabbai comes up to you and says, would you like to be the chazan? So the normal process is over here, thank you very much, pick somebody else. I'm not qualified. That's the normal approach. It should be masarif. A person shouldn't say, yeah, sure, I'm the best guy for this. I'll do it. Okay? So that's the normal process. Then ain't no masarif, and if you don't refuse, you jump right and do it. You're like a dish that doesn't have salt in it. It's not right. You know, it's not done properly. But if you do too much, listen, if the Gabbai went up to every single person said, no, I'm not going to daven, so then what are you going to do? Never, you never start the davening. So therefore, if you do this too much, it's an approach, it's an attitude. I'm not the most worthy person that I should be the one that you should automatically say, yes, I'll go up there and daven. Again, if you're a chiyuv, if you're the chazan that's being paid, these are different stories. We're talking about in general. And there's plenty of time. It's not that you're late or delayed, you're going to miss kriya shema. In those situations, wherever there's a pressure, such as when the guy couldn't daven, so then you do go up right away. These are ideals, these are ideas that a person shouldn't remember. Don't be in a rush to go be the shliach tzibur. Who says you're worthy to be the shliach tzibur? So therefore, I'm sorry? It doesn't become a game. It's an idea. It's an idea. You should be humble. A person shouldn't be running to do this.
But when it's put into a system, it's
not. No, it's to teach us the proper way to act. Yeah, sometimes, you're right, you do things that do a little bit of formality. When you greet somebody, you say, hello, how are you? Do you really care how the guy is? No, it's a formality. But it's to teach you that you should be concerned about other people. If you ask it enough times, so maybe it will sink into you that say, I really should be concerned about how you. It's not just the formality. So to over here, get into your mind that you should be a little bit humble. You're right, it's a formality, but maybe it will sink in and it won't be just a formality. So you should be Messiah, but don't be too much. Again, too much of anything is no good. The Mepharshim point out of it, some even have a different kirsa, that either the too much or the too little is bad. The Beinuni, the Shvil Azov of the Rambam is always the best way. So Messiah, Yosef Yidai, Doma L'tapshil, Sheikh Dichas Melech. It's like he oversalted it. Undersalting and oversalting are both no good. So what should you do? Ketzer Osa. This is the process, so to say. Again, under extenuating circumstances, they don't have to be extenuating circumstances, they need somebody to daven. The minion has to start. So then go up there if they ask you. Again, you're a chiyuv, so you can ask to be the chazan. I'm a chiyuv. I need to be the chazan. So that's allowed. So therefore, what should a person normally do? Pam rishonu yisarev. The first time they come up, you say, no, thank you. I'm really not the most appropriate person. The Gabbai says, you are, so please daven. So then, mahaev, you start to move a little bit. He knows, the chazan and you both know you're going to say yes the next time. And shlishes, poshet is raglov, the yorid. And then you go the third time and go up and daven. Notice it says yorid, because again, their chazan used to daven in a lower area. I mean, mama kim kirasicha. So they always have the gears over here. You be yorid to be the shliach tzibur. So therefore, that's why it uses that language. Okay, again, it's a formality. It's not a din. If you went up there and davened the first time, you're not a horrible person, but you have to look at the circumstances. There are 15 guys that would like to daven, and you always say, yes, 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 and you're always davening at the expense of everybody else, so then maybe that's not right. Maybe you should refuse, and then I'll go ask somebody else, and let somebody else have the chance. Tana Rabban, Shlosha Ruban Kasha Umiyutun Yofta. Three things, too much is no good, and a little bit is good, and the Giras in Yerushalmi is, and a little bit is also no good, and the middle is better. And that's probably the most appropriate way. In any event, Eluhein, these three things, so, or if you're making a dough and you want it to be a sourdough, you want it to, leaven, so then you need the right amount. Too much or too little is no good, according to Yerushalmi, or just too much is no good, it's gonna ruin it. Umelach and salt, as we said, and sarvanus, refusal. It's not good to, absolutely not, and it's not good to jump right in. A little bit, again, common sense. The real trick over here is to know when and how to do this properly, which is, again, midos and common sense. Am Rav Huna, Tov b'sholosh rishonos, chozil rosh. Now, we've mentioned this many times, and here's one of the sources of this. The first three brachos of the Shemoneh Esrei are a unit. The last three brachos of the Shemoneh Esrei are a unit. We almost never interrupt them. We lad for the tzibras. We'll see the bottom tosos over here says, the second to the bottom tosos, Aishalot and Shroch, what we give them Rishonos. When we get to that, so tosos says that those three are a unit. So we always want to, if you make a mistake in them, you have to go back to the beginning of the unit. So these first three brachas over here, if you make a mistake in them, chozil rosh, you have to go all the way back to the beginning of the brachas. So if a person forgot, mash baruch amor degoshem, and he finished off the brach, machayim esim, so he has to go back to the beginning. If you made a mistake and said hakel kadosh, you can't just go to the bracha ata kadosh. You have to go back to the beginning. So if you make certain mistakes in the first three brachos, you messed up the unit. You can't go back to the beginning of that particular bracha. Now within the bracha, you can. You haven't yet finished off. You forgot ma'ashi bracha meri goshen, and you're still in the middle of mechayim esim. So then you are allowed to go back to the beginning and say Mashi Baruch Amen Hagashem. Some say can even say it right then and there in the middle of the bracha. So we're not getting into the very, very specific details of every one of the insertions, but if it's the type of an insertion that if you missed, you have to go back, so then you have to go back to the beginning. I always point out, you don't have to go back and say Hashem Svasai again. That while it's an intrinsic part of the Shemoneh Esrei, is not an intrinsic part of the first three brachos, so you could just off in Baruch Atah Hashem, you don't have to say Hashem Svasai Tiftach again, you don't have to take your three steps backwards again, you are in the Shemoneh Esrei, you just have to go back to the beginning of that unit, the beginning of that bracha. In this situation, the first three are one unit. So if you made a mistake, Tov B'Shosh Rishonos, Chozel Rosh, you have to go back to the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei. Baruch Atah Hashem, not Hashem Svasai. The MCOs, if you make a mistake in the middle brachas, the slash 12, 13 brachas that you have in the middle of a weekday Shemoneh Esrei, Chozel Yatachonin. This man, the Yomim, says you have to go back all the way to Atachonin. So you made a mistake in Shemaya Tvila, you can't just go back to the beginning of Shemaya Tvila. You have to go all the way back, this is not how we paskin, you have to go all the way back to Atachonin. Bachronos, Chozel Yavoda. The Achronos, if you made a mistake, the last three brachos, so you've got an insertion. There are very few insertions there that you have to go back for. But you made a mistake. You messed up. You said the wrong second bracha, so you can't go back to the beginning of the second bracha. You have to go back to the beginning of the first or the last brachos. So again, they're a unit. And if you mess up, you have to go back to the beginning of the unit. Again, if you're within that bracha, you haven't finished that bracha, that's not called messing up at that point. Ravasi disagrees. Ravasi says, "Ein lehem seder." Ravasi says, and this is how we paskin, that the middle ones, not exactly like Ravasi says over here, we have to understand what he says before we can say that's how we paskin, but Ravasi says that each bracha in the middle is a separate bracha. It's not that there's no order. There is an order. If you mess up the order of the brachas, you do have to go back. But if you made a mistake, you only have to go back to the place where you made the mistake. You don't have to go back to the beginning of the unit of the middle brachos. They're not considered a unit like the first three and the last three are. Each one is considered a separate bracha, albeit the order of those brachos is not unimportant. You do have to say it in the right order. If you say Rifo'enu before Slach Lanu, so that's wrong. You have to first say Slach Lanu and then Rifo'enu. So if you did it wrong, you have to go back to the point where you made the mistake. That's the two opinions we have. Masa Rishayish says, wait a second, Bryce says otherwise. The Bryce says, Mehechonu Choser, Mitchilas HaBracha Shetah. We learned in our Mishnah, then you go back to the beginning of the bracha that you made a mistake. Mitchilas HaBracha Shetah Zeh, or Shetah Ba. Kasha, it's a problem over here, Tiyufta. Now on the side it says, Tiyufta to Ravasi. It's certainly a Tiyufta to Ravasi. Ravasi was the one who said over here, Ravasi Omar Emsos Elam Seder. So it says over here, certainly you have to go back to the Chilas of the Bracha, so that's certainly Tiyufta de Ravasi. And on the side it says, Lema, let us say, Tevi Tiyufta de Ravuna. That it should also be a Tiyufta on Ravuna. Ravuna said over here that you go back to the beginning of the middle Brachos, to Atachonin. And here it seems to say you just go back to the Bracha that you made a mistake in. So Amalek Ravuna say no. Emtzios kulo chada birchaso ninu. According to Rav Huna's understanding, all the middle brachas are also one unit. So if you made a mistake in that unit, you have to go back to the beginning of that unit. Therefore, his shita is not against what we just brought down, because he said you go back to where you made the mistake, to the unit that you made the mistake. That's how Rav Huna would understand it. Again, that's not the halacha l'maisa, but that's how Rav Huna would understand it. Okay. On Rav Yehuda, and by the way, the Mepharshim bring down, where do we get an idea that the middle unit is a unit? From the Brach of Havinenu. So they bring down, the Brach of Havinenu makes the 12, 13 brachas in the middle as one unit. So therefore, you see that they are as one unit. Okay. On Rav Yehuda, Liolam Ayishal Odom Tzrachov, Lo Bishalosh Rishonos, Lo Bishalosh Achronos. The person shouldn't ask for his own personal, individual requests in the first three and the last three. As the bottom Tosos also points out, the second to the bottom Tosos, he points out, but communal things you're allowed to. That's why we can add Zochreinu L'chayim, Melech Avimichamoch Avarachman, because those are communal requests. So the rabbis did allow, on rare occasions, for you to add communal requests into those brachos, but to start saying, Mechayim Esim, personal requests, that's not the right place for it. Yes, communal requests, and not individual requests. So in the first three and the last three, a person shouldn't ask his tzrachov, what he needs. That's not the right place to go and add it over here. Okay? However, Elabem Tzios, when's the best place? In the middle. You need Parnasa in Berech Lein, we'll talk about Parnasa. You need Refuah Shleima in Refrain, we'll talk about Refuah Shleima. The Yom Rav Chanina, because Rav Chanina taught us, Rishonos Domo Lievich Shemesad Shvachel De Rabo. How do we view the Shemoneh Esrei? It's like a person going to his boss, an Evid going to his master and asking for things. So we walk into the room, you say, wow, you're a great boss. You have to acknowledge that you're the one that can give me all the brachos. So you walk into somebody that can't give you any brachos, you don't have to say, you're the one that can give me all the brachos. So here, you have to understand, you're like an Evid, Shemesad Shvachel De Rabo. You say, I know you can do everything, so this is what I need. And then B'em Tzoyin, Domo Lievich Shemavakish, Pras Mirabo. Then you can say, and God, since you can give everything, this is what I need. And then achronos, don't believe should kibel pras mirabo. You should be in the mood that Hashem has listened to my tefillos and hopefully has answered my tefillos, and you thank Hashem. So that's the concept of shevach, bakoshos, and hodah. And that's the style of every Shemoneh Esrei, and that's the style of many of our tefillos. You first praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you acknowledge that He's the one that can give you, you then ask what you want, and you thank Him for giving you what you need. V'niftav ha'oliklo, and then you can leave. That's the Shemoneh Esrei. That's the organization of Shemoneh Esrei. That's the organization of the Slichos. Slichos is a very similar pattern to the Shemoneh Esrei. So we say tachlun after the slichos, because it's like the tachlun that we're about to learn about after the Shemoneh Esrei, and that's the standard way that we daven. Shevach, bakoshos, hodor. Tana Rabbanu, ma'is b'tamun echo, shiur adlev ne'at teva. Once it was a tamun, again, it went down to the teva, he was the chazan. Now, in those days, as we pointed out yesterday, they were freelance. They could add things. We have a codified Shemoneh Esrei. Don't try to get up there today at the 7:30 minyan and start adding stuff to the Shemoneh Esrei. We will not let you do that. But in those days, they could freelance. So they would sometimes add. The Miri says they would add more, and sometimes they would not add more. So if you added a lot, you were called Marich, and if you didn't add, you were called Makatzer. They didn't cut out anything. Makatzer didn't mean they cut out anything. So it says over here, Ma'is b'Talmud Echo, the once was a Talmud, short of near table, Bnei Rabbi Eliezer, one of the Talmidim was davening at Rabbi Eliezer's shul, and V'Hayah Marich, Yosef Yidai, and he added on many, many, many additional things. So the other people, you have this, it's not a new concept. People don't like when somebody davens too long. So this was an old custom amongst the Jews. Only Talmidim, Rabbeinu Kama Ar, look how long he's davening. I missed my train. He davened more than he said more than 2.37 seconds for this, and that's not allowed. So they were upset. So Rabbi Eliezer tells them, "Amalem klum marich Yosef Moshe Rabbeinu. Did he daven more than Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu davened for 40 days and 40 nights. So the chesiv day as arboy mayov yisubim alaylo v'gomer. Most of the chazanim don't daven for 40 days and 40 nights. So they daven the next 12 seconds. Nishke fellow. He tells the tamidim, don't get so upset. Another one was too fast, right? Baruch Hashem. I davened enough minyan in my life to know that there's almost nobody that's going to be happy. And this one says he davened too fast, this one says he davened too low, same minyan. Same exact minyan. And your people come up to you, Rabbi, you know, he davened too fast. And it's the same minyan, people say he davened too slow. So again, you have to try mila b'mila. That's what I said the other day. That's where the mina comes to wait for the rabbi. You have to shema and you have to shemoneh esrei. Because we're assuming the rabbi is saying it mila b'mila, which is the right speed. There is a right speed. Mila b'mila. Now I know some people can say mila b'mila were faster than others. So again, there's ranges over here. It's not everyone has to daven at the exact same pace, but it's supposed to be mila b'mila. And that's the right pace. In any event, this Talmud went up there and he was sure of the table, but never really has it. But I'm a katzer. He didn't add so many praises. Yosef he died more than it was necessary. So therefore, in this situation, also, some suggest he actually said Havinenu. So according to the Gerson, it says Makatzer. So some said he didn't say the Chazar Seshas. He said Havinenu over here. Okay, in any event, one went too long, and Rabbi Eliezer said, Moshe Rabbeinu David long. He didn't dive as long as Moshe Rabbeinu. They said he went too short. So he said, Amel Tamida, Kamakatzer was there. So the Tamida said, whoa, he's so fast. He cut off so much. So I'm like, Kul Makatzer Yosef Moshe Rabbeinu. Did he dive in? And he fasted in Moshe Rabbeinu. Did he daven shorter than Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu, when he davened for Miriam, the chesiv, kel no, refor no law. That was his entire tefillah. When Miriam became Mitzoras, so then Moshe Rabbeinu davened for. He said a very short tefillah, kel no, refor no law. So therefore, he davened. So what's the right way that the person is supposed to daven? So I saw a beautiful thing in the Shomer Tzion Beloch. He says, if you're davening in something that is totally on both nature, the quote normal things, as well as of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then you don't have to daven so long. But if you're davening for something that you're basically is totally up to Hashem, so you're davening for something, he says, like slicha, kapara, things like that, so then you can daven a longer time. So it's for nature, for things that you're davening for before Shlaim, okay, you daven, and then you go on. But if you're davening for a tshuva, for your soul, then that's not totally in what you can do. Then you can be marach. You give your general guidelines. Again, it's not a halacha, it's a general guideline. In any event, Moshe Rabbeinu davened very, very short. And we learn from this over here another thing as well. Amar Yaakov, Amar Chisto, Kol Mavakish Rachim El Chaveiro, Ein Tzorach Lahask Yishmo. Moshe Rabbeinu was davening, and the Mepharshim will point out, in their presence. This is why if you're in the hospital, you're at the bedside, if somebody's sick, you don't have to say, so-and-so, bas so-and-so, ben so-and-so. You don't have to say that. So over here, when you're davening for somebody, and the Shechin is present at the bedside, so you're davening at the bedside of the person, you don't even have to mention their name. And where do we see this from? From Moshe Rabbeinu, Shnemar, Kel no reform, no law. It's a very, very beautiful and interesting gematria that the words refuah na in gematria is 232, which is exactly the same gematria as Miriam and Yocheved. So it's like he was saying Miriam bas Yocheved anyway. So that's very, very cute. But the halach is, if you're davening at the bedside, if you're davening in shul for a foolish shleim or somebody, you should ideally say their name and the name of their mother. So they all ask, why the name of the mother? So many, many reasons are given. The one that I like the best is because you're trying to bring zechuyos for that person. So you mention the mother's name, because mistama, the Jewish mother, is a tzaddikus. The Jewish father, we're not 100% sure. So the chidah brings down, if you know the father's a tzaddik, you can say ben so-and-so and so-and-so. But otherwise, the default position is the mother, the Jewish mother, is going to be a tzaddikus. The father, we're not so sure. So therefore, that's the minhag to say the Misha Beras, because we call somebody up for the Torah, you call it by the father. Because there it's not a zechus you're talking about. Who is this guy? So then we go patrilineal. But if you're looking for zechusim, then you say for the mother. You know, there are many, many other reasons for that also. That's the one that I like the best. In any event, you don't have to mention the name. Halach l'maisa, we see from Moshe Benu. He said, Kel non for all the law, komikai shema to Miriam. And he didn't mention Miriam's name. Hashem Shem Rufu Shlema to Miriam. So again, when you're davening at the bedside of somebody, and the person is there, you're davening at the house, and the person is there, so then you don't have to mention the name. You can just say, Hashem should give you Rufu Shlema. Next, Tana Rabban, we bring down the following Tosefta. Elu brachos shodim shocha bohen shocha bohen. The following is the only times in the Shemoneh Esrei you're supposed to bow down when you're saying the bracha. As I mentioned previously, during the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, there are times you're allowed to bow down. On your Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, people have a bent position in their davening. Many have that custom. But at the beginning and the end of a bracha, you're not allowed to bend down except for these two brachos. All the other brachos, you have to stand up erect. You're not supposed to bow down. What are those two brachos? Ba'avos tchil of esof, the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, bracha to Hashem, and Magen Avraham. When you say Baruch, you bend down. Atah, you start to lift up, and you should be straightened by Hashem. So that's the proper way. Baruch Atah Hashem. That's the only time at the beginning and at the end of the first bracha. Bracha called Avos, and the beginning and end, Tchila V'Sof, Behodah, Tchila V'Sof, and the beginning and the end of Modim. By Modim, and Atah Shuchol Chanei Lahodos, that's when you bow down. For all the other brachos, you're not supposed to bow down. Sometimes you see chazanim that don't know this, and they're bowing down for different brachos, and they don't bow down for that one. So if you do so, you're not following what the rabbi said, which the Gemara says is a very big problem. The Ibala Shuach Besov Kol Bracha Bracha Ubtchilas Kol Bracha Bracha. And if you decide to do better, well, if this is good, then that must be better, right? You tell a patient, take two of these a day, and then they take four a day, because if two is good, four must be better. So that's very dangerous, obviously. So the rabbi said, bow down at these two brachos, beginning and end, and nothing else. And if you don't listen to that, so then you're going to be in a lot of trouble. So the Gemara says, Melamdeno So Shlo Yisha. You have to teach that guy not to do this. The Mefarshim point out, it says, Melamdeno So, you don't stop him. You tell him after the davening. You're not mechuyev to embarrass somebody in these situations. They're not doing something that's horrible. You're not mechuyev to embarrass them. It's very bad what they're doing, but it's not horrible. So therefore, Melamdeno So means after the davening. And you teach him Shlo Yisha that he shouldn't bow down over there. Am Rishuvim Ben Pasi, Am Rishuvim Levi, Mishum Bar Kapora, Hedjot, a regular person. Hedjot means a common person. It doesn't always mean a bad person or a stupid person. So hedjot is a coin. Hedjot is a plain coin. So a regular coin should do this. However, a regular person should do this. However, the coin gadol, because he is on a higher madrega, so he has to humble himself more, Rashi says. The reason why you don't do more bowings down is because it's like a false humility almost. It's an improper thing. It's arrogant that I'm such a important guy. I'm like a coin gadol. I'm like the melech, as we'll see. So that's why you don't do it more times. And the rabbi said, this is the proper amount and not more. So if a person does this, we'll see, it's mechzik yura. That's the lashon that we had over here at the end of the bottom tosos over here. It says, you're not following the tekanos chachamim. That's number one. That's a terrible thing. And number two, chayshin liyura. You're saying, hey, look at me. I'm so important. I have to bow down at every bracha. So kohen gadol, he does have to bow down, but sof kol bracha bracha. He says, baruch at Hashem, at the end of every bracha, bowing down. A melech. The melech is judged every day, so therefore he has to be especially humble. So therefore, tchilas kol bracha ubracha v'sov kol bracha ubracha. So the king is different than anybody else. Amar v'yitzo ben achmeini, l'didim v'farshali minei d'rev shuvim levi. I heard it the following way. Hedjot kibo shamarnu. A regular person, only the beginning of avos, beginning and end of avos, beginning and end of modim. Fine. Kohen gadol, he says, he has the girsa, tchilas kol bracha ubracha. The gra changes around the girsa here, and the bracha says, the gra says over here, a kohen gadol is tchila v'sof called bracha bracha. What we before had for the melech, we have over here for the kohen gadol. And then hamelech kivin shikara shuvenos okay. The king, once he bows down at the beginning, he never stands up. He needs especially to remind himself, right? The king, one of the reasons the king carries the Sefer Torah around with him all the time is so when everybody stands up for the king, he shouldn't get arrogant. He should say, oh, they're standing up for the Sefer Torah. A king is, again, a person who's a very powerful person, a very well-regarded person, so he can get very arrogant very easily. So he bedavka has to say his hoshmon esrei bent over, according to the second version, shenemar. And we see a riot for this from Shlomo HaMelech. But he can call Shlomo Spahal and go, man, when Shlomo was done davening, it only says then, he was davening on his knees the whole time, and only when he finished his Shmoneh Esrei did he get up, implying that he should be bent over the entire time. So again, the more, quote, important a person is, the melech, he has to be more humbled. The Kohen Gadol is very important, he has to be humbled a certain amount. A regular person needs a certain amount of humbleness, but if you act more than that, it's actually arrogance. And therefore, you have to follow what the rabbi said. So we're going to talk a little bit about now how the proper form of prayer. We'll talk a little bit about that right now. Tanya Rabban, Kida, right now. Kida, what is Kida? Alapayim, that's on your face. Now, what exactly this is, so Gemara also tells us that Levi once did Kida, and he became lame from it. And Kida, according to some, is that you just do, you're standing up, and only your face touches the ground. So you have to bend at the waist, and have your face go to the ground, and you're holding yourself up just with your thumbs. And that's pretty gymnastic. You have to be pretty good position and shape to do something like that. So that's one opinion of Kida. Others say, no, it can be on your knees, and you just put your face to the ground. So that's called Kida. Where do we see this from? Shenemar, Vatukad Basheva Apayim Eretz. So that's the language over here to show the Kida is face to the ground. Apayim Eretz, your face to the ground. Kriya, that's Alabrikayim. This type of Heshtach Avoya called Kriya, that's on your knees. Shenemar, Michroa Al Birkov. So that means on the knees. Heshtach Avoya, Zupishu Yadai Mergayim. That's full face down, flat. Totally out, arms outstretched. That's called Heshtach Avoya. Shenemar, Havon Avoa Nivim Chavi Achachol, Heshtach Avoya, Sucho Artsa. We go all the way down, Rashi says Artsa, Loshto Mishtateyach. It means you're totally spread out on the ground. So you have different forms. One is just your face to the ground, one is your knees down, and then fully down. So again, different levels of humbleness, different levels of subservience to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Amar Chiya B'Rei D'Rav Huna, Chazinalu, L'Abaye B'Rava D'Matzli Atzluye. I saw them doing this over here, and they were on their side. As Rashi says, Kishinoflun Al-Pneim, when they were doing Tachnun. Tachnun is part of the Shmoneh Esrei. It's the conclusion, if you wish, of the Shmoneh Esrei. It's not an intrinsic part of the Shmoneh Esrei, but that's why it's so important. You're not supposed to have any interruption between Shmoneh Esrei and Tachnun. Even the Chazan isn't supposed to interrupt. A not well-known din is that the Chazan shouldn't be moving around on a Monday or a Thursday like today. The Chazan shouldn't be running all over the place and talking after he finishes his Shmoneh Esrei and Tachnun, because Kiskabot Tzlosson is really the final conclusion, and you're not supposed to talk. That's another good reason not to talk in all these places, because you haven't really finished. So in any event, so they're talking here about Tachdun, so they would do it over here, ain't posting your damn rug, then they wouldn't spread themselves fully out. The Gemara elsewhere says that the only people that should fall down fully on Tachdun is somebody who's guaranteed that his tefillah is going to be answered. Because otherwise, it's going to make the rabbis, make people think less of the rabbis. Either they'll say, oh, the rabbi said if you daven in this way, you'll be answered, and they weren't answered, the rabbis are wrong. Or they'll say that he's not much of a rabbi and that they didn't answer the tefillahs for him. So therefore, unless a person is guaranteed, and today nobody is at this level, so unless you're guaranteed that you can say Tachnun and be answered right away by going fully flat on the floor, so we don't do it, and we do what Abaye Rava did. If Abaye Rava already felt this way, Allah has come to us, so they would go on their side, Matin al Tzidem. We have the custom, we bow down on our hand, we bend over on our hand, so they went on their side, but they didn't go flat fully out. So that's what they did. Okay, and that's basically, again, on the Gemara elsewhere, it says that unless you're guaranteed that you're going to be answered, don't do this in public. Tani Chada, we learned in one brisa, HaKorea Bodo, HaRezim Meshubach. In one place it says, if you bow down during Modim, it's Meshubach. Oh, that's what we said, our argues. The Tani Yidach, another place, says, HaRezim Aguna. Says, you shouldn't bow down at the beginning and end of Modim. What's going on over here? Gemara says, Lokasha. HaBetchila, HaLebesov. Gemara says, one is talking about at the beginning of Modim, that's good. And at the end of Modim, HaTov Shukhal Chonel Odoz, that's not good. Well, really? That's not what we learned. Rava Korab Odo Tchil of himself. So Rava went down at bowed down at the beginning and end of Modim. And so the Rabbanim said, Amilei Rabbanim. Rabbanim said, Am I covered, my Hochi? Didn't we just say, don't do it at the end? So he said, no, you totally misunderstood that price. So Amalu, Chazinu L'Rav Nachman, the Korab, Chazinu L'Rav Sheishas, the Hochi, Hochi. I saw my Rabbeim do this, so this is the right way to do this. Your price is wrong. Your understanding over here of what to do is wrong. Aye, for Tanya, we just learned, HaKorab Odo, HaRezim Aguna. So, What is our understanding of the Braisa wrong? Didn't that Braisa say that you're not supposed to bow down at the end of Modim? So what's going on? So he says, no, that's not the Modim of Shmoneh Esrei. Hai behodo sheba halel. This is the halel agodo. Kapitul kufla amidvav. Hod l'ashem kito kilio chasto. There, you might think you're supposed to bow down, bow down, bow down. There, it's incorrect to bow down. Ay, votanya, hakorea behodo, u behodo shel halel reza maguna. But another Braisa said, in Modim, Hodor, and in the Halal HaGadol, it's incorrect to bow down. So how can you say that that was referring to the Halal HaGadol? It says here specifically, Modim and the Halal HaGadol. So he said, no, you made a mistake there as well. Kitanya hi, Hodor the Birchas HaMazon. That's no Delichor. Don't bow down during no Delichor. The rabbis didn't say to do it. The rabbis didn't say to do something. Don't do it. Don't be holier than thou. Don't say, I know better than the rabbis. Rabbi said, bow here and not there. And therefore, you're not allowed to bow down. And this is true in many parts of the town. By Nishmas, people said, there was a custom to bow down. The rabbi said, that's wrong to bow down at that point. So how are we allowed to bow down by Baruch Hu? So that's a Tzarech Iyun. That's what Mepharshim say. Where do we get this from? Tzarech Iyun. Where do we get the idea you bow down by Aleinu? So Aleinu, we say, Nachtu Korim, Mishtacha, Bimodim. Everybody bows down. The halach is, if you walk into a shul and they're doing that, you have to bow down also. Because how does it look like? Everybody else is bowing down to Hashem and you're saying, no, I'm standing up erect. So how are we allowed to do that? So the Mepharshim explain, when we say by Aleinu, it's we're saying, Vanachtu Korim, Mishtacha, we are bowing down to you. It doesn't look good if you don't bow down. But as a stam, Hodor to Hashem, you only bow down in the places where HaKadosh, where the Chachamim said we're supposed to bow down. Anything more than that makes you look arrogant and it shows that you're not following what the rabbi said. What's so terrible if everybody bowed down? So the Mepharshim bring down, it would lead to a hefkevelt. It would lead to everybody doing what they want. Oh, this guy does it this way, that guy does it. And it must be that the rabbis are just another way to do it, as opposed to the right way to do it. And it's going to lead to everybody making their own customs, which in 2 minutes will have no Judaism. So the Mesorah is critical. Passing on what we learn from our fathers and their fathers and their fathers is the essence of Yiddishkeit. The Mesorah is everything. And if the Mesorah is do this, don't do it differently. That's the ultimate reason why some of the Mepharshim say you have to be so medactic. If the rabbi said, bow down over here, they want it here and not there, there's a reason. Even if we don't know the reason, don't add on. You don't necessarily are contributing positively by adding on. I think this is a good idea. So that's the strictness over here, if you wish, of following the rabbis. Next Mishnah. If somebody's davening and he makes a mistake, so that's not a good sign for him. He's not his own personal shmoneh, so he gets messed up. Again, they didn't have sidurim. They get messed up all the time. So that wasn't a good sign. Him shliach tzibu, it's even worse. Simin ra'al u'sholchav. Then he's my messenger. He's my shaliach. So that reflects bad on me as well. Vibnei, sheshluch lod kubos. Again, for the concept that we just said, that the shliach is acting on my behalf. Amru Allah Baruchinim Adosa. Again, another wonderful story about Baruchinim Adosa. Shai Mispala Lacholim. He would daven for sick people all the time. That was so great. As we'll see, that's what made him so great. He wasn't just a huge Talmud Chacham, but he was unbelievably involved in davening for other people, and chesed for other people. After davening, he said, so-and-so is going to live, so-and-so is going to die. Before I should point out, he didn't tell this to anybody else. The Amru, he said to himself, based upon how his tefillah was. Amulo. And then people asked him afterwards, you know, we hear that you do so. Amulo, minayinat yodea. How do you know? He says, Amulo, im shkur tefillah si b'fi, yodea nishu mekubal. If my tefillah comes out smoothly and nicely, so then I know it was mekubal in Shemayim. V'im lab, but if it's a magam game, if it doesn't come out smoothly, I can't somehow say it right. I know in Shemayim it's a simon that the guy's not going to live. V'im lab, yodea nishu mekubal. My tefillah is all messed up, so that guy's unfortunately going to be messed up as well. Ahai. Now what this statement it was made upon is Rashi says over here, Behecho, Be'ezo, Min HaBrachos, HaYutos, B'Simin Ra. At what point in the davening is considered a bad simin if you mess up? So Rechi Yom Rav Safra, Mishum Chad Devei Rebbe, he said in the name of one of the Tamidim, the Avos. If you mess up in the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, that's a bad simon, because that's the one that you're supposed to really say with Kavanah. Others point out, it's the start. If you mess up at the start, that's not a good sign. Others say that this statement that he said, that it went, he said, Mishum Chad Devei Rab, he made a statement, so it was on the following, on this brisa. A person daven Shmoneh Esrei should intend to daven all 18-19 brachas with kavana. If he has trouble davening all of them with kavana, at least pick one and do that one real well. Which is what I always tell people. If you're having trouble in davening, saying all the words, the young kids, that's too much for me to daven. They say, so start small. Don't daven the whole davening. Pick one and daven that one. Then the next day, another week, another month, pick something else. Master it. That's a good approach. So here, if you can't daven all 18, 19 brachas well, so then at least daven one real well. Which one? That's the most important one. And that is the halach lamaisa. That's the one you must have kavanah for, which theoretically you should go back and repeat it if you didn't have kavanah, although we don't do that, as I mentioned yesterday, because you probably won't do it well the second time as well. Now we have more stories about Rechinu Nidosa. How do we know this, that he said that the words come out smoothly, that he thinks it's a good davening? Based upon the pasuk, so if your lips come out well, it's going to work out well for you. The end of the pasuk, and I know that the refuah came. All the wonderful things that the Nevi'im prophesied to Klal Yisrael is not talking about Tamidei Chachamim. The reward for them is unbelievable. You can't even imagine it. So the reward that they mention in the Navi is if you're masi your daughter to a Talmud Chacham, you're assisting a Talmud Chacham by having your daughter marry a Talmud Chacham. You help Parnas with a Talmud Chacham. You let him join your business for you, with you. You give a Talmud Chacham a present. Those great praises and rewards that the Navi promised are for these people. I will tell you the Chacham Matzman, the reward for the actual Talmud Chacham, Ayel Urasa, Elokim Zulasecha, Yasalim Chakilo, that nothing can imagine. I hasn't seen the reward that's going to be destined for those people. All the wonderful things that they're talking about, that's for the days of Mashiach. That's beyond Mashiach. That we have no conception of, no eye has ever seen this. Oh, please, this world. But that statement that we have a difference between the Mos HaMashiach and now, so that's disagreed by Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, Amen, Olam Hazel, Limos Mashiach. So there is no difference between our world now and the days of Mashiach. The only thing will be El Shiva Malchus Mubad. Mashiach's going to come. Everybody will say Israel's no longer on the top one list of the UN for resolutions. They won't bother us. And that'll be the only difference. Life will go on. You go to work every day and Mashiach will be here. But according to Shmuel, there won't be any difference. Shenemar. Because the pasuk says, Ki lo yechdal ev yom mikerbar. There will still be poor people on the world. There won't stop being poor people on the world. So obviously the world's going to go on its regular way. All the things that they said over here for Bali Tshuva, they'll get all these rewards. Aval tzaddikim gemurim, ayin l'ros elokim zul l'secha. Nobody will have seen the great reward for the tzaddikim. But this is in disagreement with Pliga, the Rabbi Avo. The Rabbi Avo, Malkush Bali Tshuva on them, tzaddikim gemurim, enum on them. Where a Bali Tshuva stays, even a great tzaddik doesn't reach. Shenemar, shalom shalom l'rochov l'akorov. What does that mean? L'rochov b'reisha. He was far away at the beginning. And then, v'hadu l'akorov. Then he becomes a Bali Tshuva. So that person is even greater than Tamidei Chachamim, than people that tzaddikim all their lives. Why is that? So the two interesting ideas. One is because all their sins became now, if they did it al-ava, so all their sins became mitzvos. So he did a lot of sins. So he has a lot of mitzvos. That's one understanding. And the other understanding is he constantly has the Yetzirah to do go back to what he was. So he's overcoming his Yetzirah, so he can reach greater heights than a Talmud Chacham, than a person who's a tzaddik from the beginning. Again, both are important. We don't here measure. They're giving us relative ideas over here. We don't try to say, well, I'll be a Rasha and then I'll become a Baal Tshuva. That absolutely is wrong. Or Yochanan Amar the other way, Amalach, my Rachok, show your Rachok, he was far away even from the beginning. He was a tzaddik gomer from the beginning. And he's always near doing an avera, but he's staying far away from it. So therefore, the person who's a tzaddik gomer is better. Again, both ideas are very important. So the Gemara says, "My ayin lo ra'a." I saw. What does it mean? No eye ever saw this reward. So Rishon Levi say, "Yayin amshuma bi'anova b'sheshim ebrachis." This is a special wine that's hidden inside the grapes, so to say, for ebrachis. In other words, no eye has ever seen it. Rabbi Shmuel by Nachmeni, others say it's Rish Lakish, I think. Whoever said is Amazeh, Zeh Eden. This is a reference to Eden. We always say Gan Eden is one place. So there's Eden and there's the Gan. Shalom Shaltobo Ein Kobiria. Nobody ever saw the Eden. They only saw the Gan. You're going to tell me they're the same thing. Shema Tomar, Adam Rishon, Hechneo Began. And you're going to tell me, Shema Tomar, who Gan, who Eden? It's one thing. No. Talmud Lomar, V'nor Yotzeh Mi Eden, Lahashus is a Gan. Gan Luchud, Eden Luchud. They're two separate ideas. There's Gan and there's Eden. We call it Gan Eden, but only thing that was seen by Adam Rishon was Gan. Eden he never saw. Gamliel's son got sick. Gamliel was the Nasi. He was the Gadol Hador. And what did he do? He sent two Talmidei Chachamim to go and get Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Levakish Levrachman, to daven for his son. Kivin Shuah saw him. As soon as Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa saw him, he davened. So all of Aliyah, Ubikesh Levrachman. So he davened for him immediately. He didn't wait for them to tell him. When he comes down, he said, no, he's better. You don't need me to daven for you anymore. He's already better. Amalo, how do you know that? Chinovi ato. Say, are you a Navi that you know he got better? They didn't have a cell phone. They weren't communicating. They were miles away. Amalhan, lo Navi onochi, lo ben Navi onochi. This is a famous pasuk in Amos, where Amos says, I'm not a Navi, I'm not a ben Navi. So, in any event, they paraphrase this many times in the Gemara. Elekach lukublani, im shigur tvilasi bifi yodiani shumukubo. This is the way I know. If my tvilos are fluent and they come out easily fluid, then I know that the person did well. I know Nebuchadnezzar doesn't work. So they went back. Yashu Kosovo of the Kivnu Osa Shah. They wrote down as best as they could exactly what time it was that this happened. You didn't leave out one detail. That's exactly what happened. At the exact moment the Rechinina Bedosa said, my child was better, he got better. The Farshim say, in this type of illness that he had, they normally weren't thirsty. And here he was thirsty. So that showed that it was a miracle from Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa that this all happened. Another Maisa with Chanina ben Dosa, Shum Maisa with Chanina ben Dosa, Shal Achlum Motari, Esau Yochanan Zakei, Bechol Abinu Shor Yochanan Zakei, his son got sick, Omer Chanina beni, Paki Shal Rachmi. So he said to his Talmud, Chanina, please beg for mercy on my son. That he should live. He put his head between his knees. And Rechim and Dosa's tefillah was immediately answered. I could be sitting here all day with my head between my knees and nothing would have happened. He was a great Rebbe Gamliel. Now, he was a regular Yochum and Zakkai. So, Elisa, his wife said to him, Nu, v'china chanina, gado b'choy, is your Talmud chanina greater than you? Amalai, he said, lo, lav, he's not greater than me. Ella, who don't like heaven, me'amel, he's constantly in the king, he gets to ask. The servant for the king gets to talk to the king every day and can ask him for little things all the time. The sar has to make an appointment. He has to come in once every now and then. I'm like the sar, but he don't make a sal of the amel. He's there all the time. He's closer to Hashem because he's constantly davening for other people. We learned this the other day. You should look out and see the majesty of the world and not get distracted and realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs everything. Shenema, based on Daniel, again, Neged Yerushalayim. Somebody who davens out in the field, out in the valley, is a chotzev thicker person. Amar Reb Kahana, chotzev olai man deforish chatoi. So that's another statement. So why is a person in the valley considered over here? Because it's not a makom tznius. It's a wide open area. It's again an arrogant composure. A person should daven in a confined space and realize that you're a confined person. The last thing, we finished the parak, Kahana. Chotzev laiman deporish chatoi. If a person who davens out loud and specifies his sins so other people can hear it, he's arrogant. Shema, ashen nasi pesha kisui chatoi. It's like you're bragging about your sins. That's why a person does the vidoy. The vidoy, we're all doing it together for all of Klai, so he can say that out loud. But otherwise, if a person is vada, he should always do it privately and not do it out loud, because is this considered like you're bragging about your sins and you're not really doing tshuva for your sins. Hadron alecha ein omdin, hadron alecha ein omdin, hadron alecha ein omdin, baruch Hashem, finished another parrot. Have a wonderful day, everybody.